This is the Banner of Truth broadcast, a program sponsored by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Your speaker is Pastor Hans Overdoon. Dear listener, on this Sunday before Good Friday, when the Christian Church especially remembers the bitter and shameful death of the Lord Jesus Christ, in this message I want to look with you at a detail of Jesus' suffering that all four Gospels mention, namely, what happened to Jesus' clothes. The amazing gospel with what happened to Jesus' clothes. That is the theme for this message now, based on John 19, verse 23 and 24. You understand the question by itself is rather shocking. If it doesn't disturb you, I wonder if you are really listening. With all that Jesus suffered the night before his crucifixion, and then with his trial, and then on Golgotha itself, part of his suffering involved this too. That they took his clothes off him. Not once, but three times. And the third time, the soldiers left him hanging naked on the cross. Now just stop and think of this, dear listener. Here's a grown-up man, an adult, and other people come and take his clothes off. Not in a caring way either, but in a most despiteful and mocking manner. It is natural for us to be guarded and private and protective about our clothes. Isn't it true? If you have to go to the hospital and for some reason you need help to be dressed and undressed, who likes to admit that? And who doesn't feel a bit embarrassed about that? But listen now. With the crucifixion, Jesus had his clothes removed altogether three times, and on the cross the soldiers left Jesus naked. Behold Jesus Christ hanging there on the cross, suffering so, not least also suffering so much shame. On sinners' behalf. See Jesus, the most dignified person who ever set foot on this earth. Behold him hanging there, disrobed, and very possibly completely naked, or virtually so, with only that crown of thorns on his head. In your mind, see his clothes there in a heap at the foot of the cross, and the soldiers throwing dice for it. Jesus is crucified, hanging between two criminals. Quite likely with each crucified one, there were four soldiers involved, with a Roman centurion in charge of the whole cruel event. The four soldiers finished their brutal work in connection with Jesus, and now look, they go to that pile of clothes, and what will they do with it? Well, it was custom that the soldiers involved would divide whatever was left behind from the one crucified. So these men sit down around the cross and are about to divide the clothes of Jesus. In John 19, verse 23, we read, then, yes, just after having nailed Jesus, and likely too, just after Jesus had cried out his first word from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part. Some have thought that all Jesus' clothes were ripped in four parts. But it is more likely that the four parts of his clothing were divided among the four soldiers, with them throwing the dice to see who would get which part. The headgear, the outer cloak-like garment, the girdle or belt, and the sandals, they would each differ little in cost, and they cast lots just to see who would get what part. Mark 15:24 tells us the soldiers parted Jesus' garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. Then there was also this other garment called his coat, or his main robe, which we are told in this case was very special, for it was all made from one piece of cloth, without any seam at all. The soldiers, instead of ripping that fifth piece of clothing in four parts, decided one of them would be lucky, gambling also on that piece. To rip it apart would be to ruin it. So let one of them win it by getting some form of lucky game they played, where one would be the winner. So the soldiers did with Jesus' clothing. One of them went home with not just one piece of Jesus' clothing, but with two pieces, having also this special full-length seamless garment. John witnessed this all taking place, and he comments in verse 24 how the soldiers, without them realizing it even, actually fulfilled what God's word had long prophesied almost 1,000 years before, which said, as we can read in Psalm 22, verse 18, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. Looking at this more, considering our theme, the gospel with what happened to Jesus close, notice with me now the following 3 points. For one, do you see how what happened to Jesus close gives such a picture of Jesus suffering for sin? Jesus in the trials before his crucifixion and with the crucifixion suffered such shame and degradation on sinners' behalf. Also, just with his clothes being divided right in front of his eyes, how humiliating, really. Normally, when someone dies, loved ones go through the house and they divide things up and get rid of clothes and whatever was not spoken for. But it all gets done after the death of the person. But Jesus now saw the little he had to his name get divided up, and that in a totally unfeeling and ungodly manner. Maybe that special seamless garment was given to him by someone, perhaps even by his mother. But Jesus has no say as to what happens with it. Jesus hangs on the cross, unclothed, and he witnesses his clothes laughingly divided up among those who care nothing at all for him. What must it have been for Jesus, giving his life a ransom for many, making that once for all sacrifice for sin, which is the one and only hope for this perishing world of sin, and for sinners like you and me, and then seeing those at the foot of the cross in sport and game dividing his clothes with no care or awareness of the person Jesus was and the significance of what he was doing. Oh, Jesus suffering for sin, do you see it, and are you too touched by it? Or not so? This little detail about Jesus' clothes, however, it also tells so clearly, doesn't it, the gospel message, the salvation story. It proclaims that truly he who is infinitely rich became totally poor to save sinners like you and me. Paul writes to the Corinthians in the second letter, chapter 8, verse 9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Oh, this is the gospel. We, on account of our sins and sinfulness ever since Adam's fall, we deserve to be left forever naked and forsaken and in eternal shame and pain in body and soul. But God so loved the world that rather than all perish so forever in gloom and doom, he sent his only Son to suffer and to die the death we deserve, and to pay the horrendous but just and eternal punishment due unto us, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do these tidings affect and impact you, dear listener? It is so true in this regard, as someone put it, with the message of Jesus and him crucified. What is so urgent is not just that you get moved and stirred with the scene and story of Jesus' suffering, but that you and I become moved and convicted that Jesus had to suffer and to die so to save sinners like you and me. Do you know and agree that you, left to yourself, deserve everything that Jesus suffered and endured because of your sins and sinfulness? You only will truly appreciate Jesus the Savior and trust and obey him readily and steadily and humbly and gladly when you know and confess your sin and guilt before God and the punishment you justly deserve left to yourself. Do you seriously believe, you personally, left to yourself before God, that you deserve nothing less than to be stripped of all that you have, even of your clothes, and to be mercilessly whipped and beaten and then nailed to a cross and left there to hang and die in shame and then to be cast in hell forever? Do you believe that about yourself? Or do you more only think that is what other bad sinners do deserve, but not you so much, the good person you are, for the most part, compared to many others at least? Ah, it is in realizing the depths of your own sins and misery and the punishment you and I deserve left to ourselves that makes a person overwhelmed in faith with Jesus and his painful suffering and shameful death on the cross, that he would suffer so as a just for the unjust, for sinners like you and me. That is amazing grace beyond words. See the King of Kings stripped naked on the cross and his few clothes gambled off at the foot of the cross, and be moved with the love of Jesus and the price he would pay to save sinners like us, yes, even for as many as repent and believe on him. What a gospel! Don't you agree? It is clear John, in his gospel writing about Jesus' clothes, wants to make clear how what happened to Jesus' clothes so proves him to be the one and only Savior God promised from the beginning. John relates in what happened to Jesus' clothes, what took place was the fulfillment of God's own word. The fact that the scriptures were fulfilled without the soldiers even being aware that they were fulfilling what God foretold years before in Psalm 22, that just brings out all the more the wonder of the saving work of Jesus on the cross. It was an event when, even at the height of man's wickedness and rebellion against the Lord, still God the Lord was in control and the master of the whole situation, so that every detail in the whole event was as he had ordained, and in a way that the glory of Christ the Savior would shine forth all the more. The fulfilling of Scripture, with also this little detail about Jesus' clothes, just so confirms too the reliability of God's Word, and how that no Word of God can fail. For sure you and I may know that the one who hung on the cursed tree between those two others with just that crown of thorns on his head is beyond the shadow of a doubt the Messiah of Israel. That is, the great and glorious Savior of whom Moses and the prophets and the Psalms do speak. Jesus and Him crucified and risen again is the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And John 19, verse 23 and 24 is just so much supporting evidence for this gospel truth. It further proclaims there's every reason to place your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, you'll never be left ashamed trusting Him, while you will always be left ashamed apart from relying upon Christ and following ever after Him. Today yet is the day of salvation, however, when the garment of Christ's cleansing and righteousness is still freely offered, even to all who will repent and believe on Him. In Revelation 7, the redeemed in heaven are described as those arrayed in white robes, who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus was left unclothed on the cross, that sinners like you and me might be clothed with His righteousness, and one day, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 2, be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Oh, the amazing gospel, just with what happened to Jesus' clothes. How He gave Himself on sinners' behalf. Do you know this gospel? Do you believe it? Do you hear it? What is your response? The words of Isaac Watts are surely in order, are they not? When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Is that your response to the gospel of Jesus Christ, even just considering with what happened to His clothes when He was crucified? Behold Jesus, the crucified Savior, and repent and believe. Amen. The preceding message is available in printed form. If you would like to receive a free copy, write to the Banner of Truth broadcast, 9698 Epp Drive, EPP, Chilliwack, BC, postal code V2P, Victory 2 Peter 6N6, 6 Nelly 6. You can also find us on the website at www.frcna.org. Thank you for listening.